Chapter 20. Acts 20 and verse number 24. We're going to read one verse this morning in unison. If you have a King James Bible, we're going to read together out loud. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. Aren't you glad you're saved? I'm glad I'm saved. Acts 20 and verse 24, shall we read together? But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the grace of God that God has given you as a ministry. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the day that someone shared the gospel with us. A parent, brother or sister, somebody from church, a soul winner, a stranger, a relative. Somewhere along life's path, someone stopped us and asked us the most important question about eternity. And at that time, we yielded ourselves to thee and we trusted you to be our Savior. Nothing else in life is more important than trusting you as our Savior. So, dear God, please, I pray that you bless this morning. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. And Lord, please emphasize in people's hearts and minds the importance of the subject we're about to talk about this morning. Thank you for the folks that are here. Please bless them. Help us not to be distracted or be a distraction. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, Acts chapter number 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Notice the last few words there, the gospel of the grace of God. You receive the gospel, it's the grace of God that you're saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. If you are saved, if you are born again, it is by the grace of God that you are saved. Not because you're worthy, not because you're good enough, but because you saw yourself as God sees you, as a sinner deserving hell. And you cried out for mercy, and Jesus saved your soul. Unfortunately, today, we have so many different religions and denominations. The word gospel really has been bastardized to the point that we don't even know what the gospel means anymore. Very quickly, if you were to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians just chapter number 15, the two books after Acts, we have the definition, the only definition in the Bible concerning the word gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now he's going to give you the definition of the gospel, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. You are saved by believing the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are not saved because you come to a Baptist church. You are not saved because you're baptized. You're not saved because you put money in the offering basket. You're not saved because you're good enough. You are saved because Jesus Christ, God Almighty, you have invited into your heart to save your soul from hell by asking and pleading for mercy. That's how a person is saved. Bottom line. Unfortunately, as I said today, the word gospel has been misused and abused. And the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, Paul has warned us of such a time to come. Galatians chapter number 1, please. Two books after 1 Corinthians, Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. And starting in verse number 6, Paul's writing to the Galatians because they were getting yoked up, mixed up with the law, trying to keep the law, either not eating swine or being circumcised or whatever else the legalists wanted to impose upon the believers. And so Paul is writing to straighten out the Corinthian church, but here are the Galatians. He says in chapter number 1, verse number 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the, what? Grace of Christ. Remember the gospel of grace? Huh? Unto, watch this, another gospel. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he says in verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Strong words, ladies and gentlemen. Verse number 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul's saying here in Galatians 1 that there's another gospel, but it's not another gospel. In other words, people and religions and leaders can make up stuff as they go. That's what the Mormons have done. Smith just made up religion, amen. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses did. They just made up a religion. That's what the Charismatics Pentecostals did. They just made up a religion. And so when you make it up, you pervert the gospel of grace, and you wonder why people are messed up in their minds and their thinking. They don't know what they believe. The gospel, according to the Word of God, is the grace of God that's given to us freely, no strings attached, if we receive it. The grace of God. Grace is you getting something that you don't deserve. Heaven, salvation, eternity with God. That's the grace of God. The gospel, we said in Acts chapter number 20, verse 24, the gospel of the grace of God. But today, you have what's called a full gospel. It's not full. It's empty. Because if you believe you can lose your salvation, that's not a full gospel. They call it full because they think gifts come along with it, like gibberish and stuff like that. But that ain't full gospel, ladies and gentlemen. But so you have a social gospel. People, especially in the black Hispanic churches, they preach a social gospel. It's a socialist gospel that tries to bring government into action to help people. And they try to plead for grants and funding and stuff like that. Faith programs that President Bush started about maybe 8-10 years ago to get organizations giving them tax money. That's government involvement. That's a social gospel to try to reform people, not to save people. But yet people follow a social gospel. Liberation theology is a social gospel. Then you have the health gospel. You want to believe the gospel just so you can feel better and have some body ache healed. Well, Paul prayed thrice for God to take the thorn away from the flesh, and God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. And so Paul said, I'd rather suffer my infirmities so the glory of God can be seen than God taking away my infirmities. And too many people today are caught up with a healing gospel that they want their bodies healed instead of being a testimony, a witness for Jesus Christ. Today you have a wealth gospel. The love of money is the root of all evil, ladies and gentlemen. It's a prosperity gospel. You hear it all the time today. You know, you try this and everything will go better with Jesus. It's like a slogan for Coca-Cola, you know. John the Baptist didn't find everything better with Jesus Christ. Nero had the Apostle Paul's head cut off because he trusted Jesus Christ and preached Jesus crucified. Well, everything is not going to go better for you because you trusted Jesus Christ. You may end up in prison. You may end up being persecuted. You may end up losing the favor of family and friends in society. Everything's not going to go better on earth because of Jesus. It'll go better inside with your soul, and you'll have peace of mind. Amen. And you'll have joy, and you'll have eternity in heaven. That's true. But everything in life is not going to go better because you've trusted Jesus Christ or because you've tried Jesus for a while. So there's a prosperity gospel that people are pushing. There's a no hell gospel that the Jehovah's Witnesses are pushing. How can you preach a gospel where there's no hell? My Bible, Jesus very clearly talked about hellfire and hell. It is, you know, that people are going to burn in forever if they rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. But you have people propagating a no hell gospel. Oh, a loving God will never do that. That's because you don't know your Bible. God is more loving than you'll ever be, but God loves people that he sent his only son to die in their place so they wouldn't die and burn in hell, ladies and gentlemen. Then you have a political gospel. You have people who twist scriptures just so they fit the Republican agenda or Democrat agenda or conservative agenda or liberal agenda or their right-wing agenda or their left-wing agenda. If anything, God's a libertarian, ladies and gentlemen. At least the New Testament preaches that. But be careful, political gospels that try to, politicians try to use churches and religions to their favor, such as so they get elected every 4 years. They don't care about God or the Word of God. Don't you worry about it. They're just politicians. The only time a politician is lying is when they move their lips. Then you have baptismal regeneration, the baptism gospel that the Church of Christ believes, or the Roman Catholic Church believes, or the Greek Orthodox Church. They believe that once you get baptized, that means you're a Christian now. And that's why they take their babies, 3, 6 months old, and they put them in water and sprinkle them and baptize them and christen them, they call it. That's why the Pope said that Adolf Hitler was a good Catholic, because he was baptized as a Catholic. That's ludicrous. It's against the scriptures. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. But people believe in a baptismal regeneration, a baptism gospel. People believe in a lordship salvation, a lordship gospel. That's your evangelical crowds. You know, they say you're not really saved unless you make Jesus Lord of your life. You'll never find one verse in the entire Bible that says you have to make Jesus Lord of your life. You won't find it. It's not in the King James Bible. Jesus is Lord whether you make him Lord or not. He's the creator of the universe whether you agree with that or not. He's God Almighty whether you like that or not. And he is Lord. But you don't make him Lord to get saved. That's foolishness. For especially for the evangelical crowd that doesn't believe in dress standards or drinking liquor is wrong, you know, for them to say you're not really saved is ludicrous and hypocritical, ladies and gentlemen. But then there you have the lordship salvation gospel. You have a work salvation. Again, the Roman Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Church or Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the Protestants, even Baptists sometimes and other denominations. You have to work for your salvation. They think you can lose your salvation. That's not the gospel of grace of God, ladies and gentlemen. Then you have the kingdom gospel, the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. They're always kingdom building, preparing for the Antichrist. They're trying to form a one world government and a one world religion, just getting you ready for the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, preaching kingdom building. Then you have a no blood gospel. My Bible says only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away your sins. But yet people are afraid to mention the blood of Jesus. There was a time when we were ridiculed and criticized for being a bloody religion. All you talk about is the blood, the blood, the blood. Well, that's all that saves you is the blood, the blood, the blood. Amen. The blood of the spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the Lamb of God to die in your place and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that you could be saved and born again. It's the only thing that will save you is the blood of Christ. So then you have the no divinity gospel where Jesus is not God. Mormons don't believe that Jesus is God. He's a God. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe he's a God. Well, my Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. In John chapter 1, in Isaiah, He is the Godhead. He is the creator. In Colossians chapter 1, Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and you will meet God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have these gospels. I don't know what you call them, but there's no name of Jesus mentioned. They come up with their own Yeshua, you know. You're like, they don't want to use the name Jesus, you know. They want to change their Bible, change the King James Bible. And well, that's not really his name. People are just stupid today, man. They come up with their own theology and their own book and their own religion. And yet, it's another gospel, but it's not another gospel. It's a false gospel. That the Apostle Paul warned us there's going to be false gospels. In verse number 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And there's a whole slew of religions and denominations that use the word gospel, but the word gospel just means good news, you know. You know, evangelist is a Greek word, evangelio. The word evangelio is gospel. That it's the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John. Gospel comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word Godspell or good story. Evangelio meant a present given to one bringing good tidings or a sacrifice offered in thanksgiving for such good things to come. Basically, a messenger. The word angel is a transliteration of the Greek word angelos. That's where you get the word angel. An angel is nothing more than a messenger. You combine evangelio, the good news, with the messenger, that's what you and I are supposed to be, an evangelist. In today's society, we think an evangelist is a public speaker. Hey, sit up. Get her to sit up. You and I think today, especially in our kind of church, we think an evangelist is a preacher. That's not a preacher. An evangelist is nothing more than a soul winner who goes out and gives a gospel to people. Now, if an evangelist can preach, that's great. No, I'm not against that. I'm not against evangelists preaching. And we've had evangelists here. But in our minds, too many times we think an evangelist is somebody who just goes to church inside a church building and preaches inside four walls, and we call them an evangelist. No, an evangelist in the Bible is somebody who is a soul winner and wins souls because they give the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Are you an evangelist? You ought to be. God's commanded you to be an evangelist. God's commanded you to be a soul winner. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Verse number 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whip behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been throughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted? Because I have preached to you, watch this, the gospel of God freely. There's no strings attached, ladies and gentlemen. We're not trying to make people Baptist. And if you're going to go to heaven, you might as well go first class, amen. I understand why people want to go to heaven not being a Baptist. But you can go to heaven not being a Baptist. All you need to do is ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard. People make it hard. Religion makes it hard. Keep reading here. Verse number 8. Paul writes, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may, watch this now, cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You mean there's another gospel? Yeah. That's not another, but there's another one. You mean there's another Jesus? Yeah, another religion, another Jesus who's not God. You mean there's another salvation? Yes, it works salvation, but it's not really salvation. The devil's really smart, very slick in using the same phraseology and the same words to make people think something completely different, ladies and gentlemen. And your salvation depends on what you believe. You better make sure you believe the gospel of the grace of God and not another gospel. You better make sure you have trusted Jesus Christ, God Almighty of the Word of God, to be your Savior, not another Jesus. Because a lot of false apostles, Paul writes. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So when you read Galatians chapter number 1 or 2 Corinthians 11 here, you realize there's only one gospel. There's not another, even though there is another that's a false gospel. There's only one Jesus Christ, even though a lot of people proclaim another. Hey, you realize that the Muslims believe in Jesus? He's a good teacher, good moral teacher. He's a prophet. I'm sorry, that's not the Jesus I believe in. My Jesus is God Almighty. They're gonna bow their knee and every tongue's gonna confess, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Muhammad, cursed be his name, is just a false prophet, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly right. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The Gospel of Matthew. Now, we do read verse 19 and 20 a lot in our churches here, but I want to start in verse number 18, because this is where I believe we are missing the crux of the gospel. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lot of power. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has all power. And that power is available to those of us who have trusted him as our Savior. And what's missing in our lives, you listen to me good, is the power of God is missing in our lives. While you're trying to think you're going to get the power by doing A, B, or C, or 1, 2, 3, or follow some formula, and you think the gospel is, you're going to get it from some guy who writes a book, he's an author, and he's real smart, he's got a big following, you won't find that in the Word of God. Here is where the power of God comes from, ladies and gentlemen. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the very next verse, the Great Commission, he says, go ye therefore. Because God has all power that's available to each of us, Jesus Christ says to these disciples, go ye therefore, because I have all power, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe, watch and say, all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Do you know why people are afraid to give the whole counsel of God? Do you know why ministers and pastors and preachers are afraid to preach the entire Word of God? They don't have the power of God. They're afraid. They're spineless. They're afraid. But you get the power of God, listen to me good, not from standing behind a pulpit or sitting at a desk and writing books and articles. You get the power of God by going soul winning, ladies and gentlemen. You get the power of God by opening your mouth and telling other people about Jesus Christ. And that is why the power of God is given. Not so you can heal your body. And not so you can have $1 million in the bank. And not so everything else can go right in your life. You're watching too much a television of the charismatics and Pentecostals, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to too many people who are just addicted to another gospel, but not the gospel of grace. As a matter of fact, if you look at Mark chapter number 16, the next book over, the gospel of Mark chapter 16. If you remember the story, all the disciples forsook Jesus. There was just a handful of women there at the cross. You know, all the disciples said, I'll die. Peter said, I'll die with you. I'll go with you. You know, where were they to be found? Nowhere. We pick up the story. We usually read verse number 15, but I want you to read verse 14. Mark 16, verse number 14. This is after the resurrection. Now he appears to the 11. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and, watch this, upbraided them. That means he chewed them out. He criticized. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. The 11 disciples who were with Jesus for 3.5 years. The 11 disciples who slept with him, ate with him, worked with him, ministered with him, sweated with him, toiled with him, preached with him, taught with him. After 3.5 years, they left the ranks and deserted. So Jesus upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. You mean they had hard hearts? The disciples that were with Jesus for 3.5 years, after they saw the miracles, the fish and the loaves multiplied and the 5,000 and the 7,000 and 10,000 fed? How in the world could these disciples, these 11 who are with Jesus the closest, have hard hearts? The way you and I do in 2015. You're saved, aren't you? If you're saved. And still, you have a hard heart. You've walked away from Jesus. You've deserted him at times. We have not done that which we were supposed to do at all times. And so Jesus comes to these 11 backslidden disciples as he comes to you and I today. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse number 15. And he said unto them. You see, you think he's talking to Bible college students. You think he's talking to people who are in seminary. Jesus Christ is talking to the 11 people who are backslidden. And he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, you have learned or you've been taught that only the people who are qualified, I put it in quotes, the ministers and the religious leaders and the preachers and the teachers and the soul winners, only those people should tell people about the gospel. That, you won't find that in the Bible. Because you won't have God, you won't have the power of God on your life to do anything else right. The rest of your life is going to be messed up because you don't have the power of God. Look, you know, I don't go soul winning because I'm a pastor. God put me in the ministry because I was going soul winning before I became a pastor. And what you think sometimes is only the pastors or the people who are in the ministers or the leaders of the church, those are the people who are qualified to talk to people about Jesus Christ. No, if you're breathing, you're qualified. If you're breathing, you're qualified to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I liken it to a garden hose, especially around this time, you know. We have a lot of garden hoses at our houses, man. With the gardens that we've had in the past, we've got garden hose after garden hose after garden hose. Sometimes they're in the garage, sometimes they're in the basement, sometimes we just let them sit under the snow for a few months, amen. But you know, all you know, you take a garden hose out of the garage or out of the basement, you know, all the bugs and dirt that's accumulated and the moss or whatever you call it, you know, the green stuff that grows on in there, the algae or whatever it is, the mold. It's disgusting in there. Well, how do you clean the inside of a garden hose, ladies and gentlemen? You go get toothpicks in there or you know, your those white things, those what do you call those things? Those ear, for your ear? What? Q-tips? You're going to get a long 3-foot, 4-foot Q-tip and get in there and clean it before you use it? No, you know how to clean a garden hose? You put it to the spigot and turn it on. And too many people are thinking, well, I'm going to wait till God cleans me out before he uses me. He'll never use you. Because you'll never be clean enough to be used of God. Yeah, God wants you to be clean. You know how you get clean? You plug into God, to the power of God, and let God turn on the spigot. And be used of God to transport the power of God, water in this case for the garden hose. Water comes from the house, the water source, to where you want to plant the water the plants or the garden, right? That's what a garden hose is made for. A person is a vessel, was created to carry the power of God from heaven to lost people. Not to be used as a shining example, oh, you look so godly. No, you weren't made for that. You are used to be, you are created to be used to carry power of God in your vessel from God Almighty to someone else. Not to look the part, not to act the part, but to open your mouth. And when you open your mouth and witness the gospel of God to other people and give the, and share the gospel, you will receive the power of God like you've never had before in your life. And that power of God will flow into every area of your life that you never thought possible. Those temptations that you can't control. You can't balance your money. You can't stop your mouth. You can't stop feeding yourself. The things that you're addicted to that you can't control, you claim. You know what you need? You need the power of God. How do you get the power of God? The gospel of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? And I'll show you how weak you are in some other areas. Do you ever notice the people who give the gospel out, the people who are soul winners, are stronger as Christians? They tend to be. Why is that? Because they're being used for the purpose they were created. The power of God is to carry, is to be carried through our vessel, in our vessel, to give to somebody else. Action number one, please. Acts chapter number one, the fifth book of the New Testament. What we are missing is we are missing people without the power of God. Because they're not giving. Hey, have you ever witnessed to your dad or mom about getting saved? Your son or your daughter, your sister, your brother? All you got to do is start. Once you start, you just keep going. Because the power of God is just flow, man. I know you're nervous. The world wants to stop you. Satan wants to stop you. So-called friends and relatives don't want to hear it. I mean, they may not want to hear it. But somebody's going to want to hear it. Somebody's going to want to hear it, just like you wanted to hear it one day. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. Jesus is speaking. After the resurrection, here's what he says to those disciples now gathered around him. But ye shall receive what? Power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, some of you are struggling with problems in your life and issues in your life, and you don't know how to deal with them. You don't know how to control them. You don't have the wisdom to take care of them. And you're pleading, God, give me wisdom in this area. Give me strength in this area. Give me power. You know what you need to do? Be the best soul winner you can be, and you'd be surprised. God will give you the answers. I've learned more things going soul winning than I have anything else I can think of off the top of my head, ladies and gentlemen. I've learned a lot of things in church. I've learned a lot of things reading my Bible, but I'm telling you, when you open your mouth and give the gospel to lost people, you will learn more about people when you're talking to them than reading it on paper. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, please. 1 Corinthians 4. So you get power through the gospel in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. And that's why you ought to witness to people, be a witness, because you'll get the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, next book over. First Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 15. For though ye have, everybody with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15. Watch this. The Apostle Paul writes to the very worldly, backslidden Corinthian church. And here's what he says. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Everybody wants to teach the Bible today. First of all, they're not using the King James Bible, most of them. But they want to teach you the Bible. The ignorant want to teach the ignorant. That's unbelievable. The blind want to teach the blind. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many what? Fathers. What do fathers do? They beget children. He said, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The gospel is what saves somebody. You're not saved because you believe the Bible. You're saved because you believe the gospel, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I dare say, how many people in this room read the entire Bible before you got saved? One person. All the rest of us got saved. I never read the Bible before I got saved. I mean, I read maybe a chapter here or there. You don't get saved because you read the whole Bible. You get saved because you believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for you to give people the gospel. You don't have to tell them everything you know about the Bible. You don't have to tell people what they're doing wrong. All they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God, freely given. So he says here, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Same thing is true in America today. Everybody wants to teach everybody else, everything, you know. We have teachers on this, teachers on that, teachers on this. Everybody wants to learn something. Yeah, everybody on the radio, everybody on the television, they have their own radio program, they have their own television program because they like to be a teacher. You know what Paul says? You need to be a soul winner. You need to be a spiritual father where you can beget spiritual children. That's what Paul did with Timothy. That's what Paul did with the Corinthians. He said, you have 10,000, he said. 10,000, that's a lot of people. Everybody wants to be a teacher. Everybody wants to show somebody something else. Oh, when is the last time you opened your mouth and gave the gospel to someone, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and actually led someone to Jesus Christ? Well, therein lies the reason why you either have the power of God or you do not have the power of God. And the more you open your mouth and the more you give the gospel out, the more people you see saved, the more of the power of God you will get in your life that will help you for your marriage, for your children, for your health, for your finances, for direction in life, for wisdom in matters that you don't know how to deal with. Romans chapter number 10, please. Romans 10. Sixth book in the New Testament, Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 16. Well, let's back it up to verse number 14. Well, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be... It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You do not have to be baptized to be saved. You don't have to be a Baptist to be saved. You don't have to change your life to be saved. You just don't want to. All you need to do is realize you're a sinner on your way to hell and ask Jesus Christ for mercy to save your soul. It's that simple. Don't complicate it any more than that. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You think that's a pastor, but it says a preacher. So that doesn't say religious leader. You could be a preacher of the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. How shall they preach, verse 15, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the, what? Gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the... They didn't say they didn't obey the word of God. And they didn't say they didn't obey the entire, all the commandments. You know why people are lost? Because they don't obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at First Thessalonians chapter number 1, please. First Thessalonians chapter number 1. I apologize. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. I couldn't read my wife's handwriting. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Verse number 6. Watch this. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, watch this, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So the reason why people die and go to hell is not because they don't obey the word of God. It's because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the gospel. And once you receive the gospel, then by it's just an automatic thing. The gospel is part of the word of God. You receive the word of God with it. That's why you believe the Bible today. You don't understand how that happened, and I didn't understand how it happened, but all I did was I believed the gospel. Guess what? Along with the gospel comes the word of God. Amen. Tailing along, amen, because the gospel is part of the word of God. And so when you got saved, it was a natural thing or a supernatural, spiritual thing that once you believe the gospel, you also believe the rest of the word of God, because that's how God does it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the operation of God. You get the gospel, you believe the gospel first, and here comes all the rest of the word of God, amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Verse number 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. We ought to be more concerned about ourselves and what goes on outside these walls. And I understand how bad America's fallen. I understand how bad it's getting out there. And I understand. I've preached enough about it. But priority-wise, we ought to be more concerned what happens on the inside than what goes on the outside. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So here's at least three instances in the New Testament that you are lost because you did not obey the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's the same gospel as it was in the Old Testament. Galatians chapter number 3, please. Galatians chapter number 3. He's the same God. It's the same gospel. It's the same grace of God. Galatians chapter number 3, right after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter number 3. Verse number 6. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God. Do you believe in God? Abraham believed in God. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing, you know, scripture can see. Scripture can see down the timeline of the future events unfolding before you and I can see them. That's why if you read the word of God, it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper, ladies and gentlemen. It's more up to date than all the other websites tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. The word of God can give you insight on future events that are about to unfold and happen. So he says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto who? Abraham. That's Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. The same gospel that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15, the only place it's ever defined in the entire Bible, the same gospel was preached to Abraham. And that's why Abraham took his only son, Isaac, and took him up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his only son to God as a picture of God Almighty doing that with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's where the Temple Mount is today, Mount Moriah, where Abraham was about to sacrifice his only son for God. That's a picture of Jesus Christ and salvation that we have. The Bible says that the scripture preached the gospel to Abraham before, and Abraham believed. Abraham was a sinner just like you and I were. Just like you and I are, Abraham believed the gospel, and he believed God, and he got saved, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews chapter number 3, please. Hebrews chapter number 3. Have you believed the gospel? Have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Or have you believed in a false gospel? Hebrews chapter number 3, verse number 17. Here the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, is recounting the history of the Israelites, the people of God. And by the way, they're still the people of God. But he's recounting their history as they're going through the wilderness. And you understand, if you know the story, you know what happened in the wilderness. They were falling because they deserted God and disobeyed God. In chapter number 3 of Hebrews, verse number 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? You know they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? Believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And you're not going to be able to enter into heaven without believing either. The only thing that will keep you out of heaven is unbelief. Unbelief in the gospel and unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Look, the story continues. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We're in the New Testament now, talking about the Old Testament, verse 2. For unto us was the what? The gospel preached as well as unto them. You mean the gospel was preached to those people wandering in the wilderness and all the Jews in the Old Testament? That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2 says, ladies and gentlemen. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How many times we got soul winning? We preach from the pulpit. You need to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You need to be born again. And people hear the word of God. They hear the gospel. But they do not put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not mixed. And so they're lost. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that saves a soul. It's got to be the faith of the individual that puts their faith and their trust in the gospel, Old Testament or New Testament. It's the gospel that saves. 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I'm sorry. Yes, 1 Peter chapter number 4. Peter's writing about those who have passed away before. This is St. Peter that was with Jesus, by the way. He says in verse number 6, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Those people in the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, heard the same gospel that you and I heard. They heard about the Messiah that was coming as a Lamb of God to offer himself as a spotless Lamb of God in Isaiah chapter 53, to die in our place for sinners. The sinless Lamb of God was supposed to die in our place. Hey, it's the same story that we hear. The sinless Lamb of God has come and died in our place. And all you need to do is believe by faith what the Word of God says about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you received the gospel? Have you received Jesus Christ to be your Savior? If you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Can you remember a time asking Jesus to save your soul from hell? When's the last time you gave the gospel to someone? When you look at the heartaches or problems or failings in your life, and you want to blame other people, which is easy to do. We always like looking for a scapegoat. We get mad at other people for all the mistakes that we make because we have a lack of wisdom. I want you to remember this sermon this morning because you have the ability to have the power of God on your life. And that power of God will flow through every area in your life. But it only comes, listen to me good, not from hearing a sermon on a Sunday morning. Not from coming on a Wednesday night Bible study. It comes from the Word of God. Opening your mouth and giving the gospel to somebody. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It doesn't say pulpiteering. It doesn't say giving a sermon. The preaching of the cross, that's the gospel. It's to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I guarantee you, when you start opening your mouth and giving the gospel to somebody, you're going to look back at your life, you're going to say, that was a time that my whole life changed. Well, you may have been saved before that, but you'll point to the point in time where you decided to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Not to make them a Baptist, not to necessarily bring them to church, not to be overly concerned with them changing their lifestyle, but seeing their soul saved. If you're concerned about getting people saved and seeing their souls saved, you'll be shocked at what God will do in your life. You'll be shocked. You will not be the same person you were. You'll be more consumed with the lost. You'll have more compassion. You'll have a tender heart. You'll be kind. You'll be patient. You'll be considerate. You'll be understanding because you're concerned about lost people dying and going to hell. Too many times we have a chip on our shoulder. Because we don't go soul winning. Too often our pride is our downfall, our ego is our downfall. We think too highly of ourselves because we don't have the power of God. What we need is the power of God in our lives. Let's all stand.